Hello and welcome to Roll for Topic, a roundtable discussion about topics related to running role-playing games. I'm Chris Salzman.
And I'm Andy Rao.
Andy, I have something that you said you wanted me to surprise you on air with, so I think this is your doing.
I regret it already, but go ahead.
No, that's fine. So the topic that I want to talk about today, and I think we'll just dive straight into it, is so you know this. I was chatting with you earlier today, but I have a I'm not going to name any names, but I have a Kickstarter game that is never going to get played that I got in the mail a year ago or something like that. It's just been sitting on the shelf. So I went to Noble Knight today just to see like how much money they would give me for it, because I've been trying to offload this thing. No one seems to be interested in kind of my social circles. So I looked at Noble Knight, which is this wonderful company out in Wisconsin somewhere that they will buy all of your old games from you. And I just asked them, you know, hey, how much would you give me for this? And it was a shocking amount of money. So I am now suddenly sitting on this gift card to the world's, you know, largest gaming store. That's specifically geared towards tabletop games. So my question and the topic that I want to talk about today is, you know, how to spend Chris's money, but more broadly, like, okay, so if you were given kind of a gift card to buy sort of like one or two books from the history of TTRPGs, like what is the sort of thing that you'd buy? And so I'm thinking about this in a couple different ways, and I'll let you talk in a second. I'm just going to let you kind of think too, is like, so one approach obviously is to, you know, trade this in for yet another game that I won't play, you know,
that's the moral thing to do.
Yeah, it's the moral thing. And like, you know, that's fine. And that's definitely like kind of an option that I've thought about. The other thing that I was thinking about is like, well, I mean, is there a, you know, like, is there something that would be good to have for the library, right? Like, is there a game from the past that'd be nice to have a copy of? I mean, I started looking through like the old, like, you know, original D&D books too. Like, right.
Yeah.
Like, so there's enough money there that I could pick up, you know, not the, you know, first edition chainmail, but I could pick up, you know, like one or two of those pamphlets, right? Like kind of those original pamphlets. So I'm starting to think through like, okay, like, you know, so do I go for something that's historical, that's interesting, or do I go for something that like I have my eye on otherwise? So that's sort of what I wanted to talk about today.
Well, I know they offered you a lot of money.
Yeah.
Is it enough to purchase like one regular retail price Fantasy Flight game? Okay,
yeah,
so that's the scale of money we're talking.
I could get a nice like deluxe edition of something. Yes.
Okay, and an expansion for Twilight Imperium something. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, fascinating. Well, let's see. Mm-hmm. First of all, I have to tell a quick Noble Knight story. I love Noble Knight. And I've been using them for like literal decades.
Yeah.
And they won my heart when long ago I sold them a stack of old like White Wolf splat books, basically.
Yeah.
I didn't grow up in the Midwest, but I have that like just in the way I'm stupid and annoyingly self-deprecating.
Yeah.
I also, when I'm like bargaining with you, I underrate the quality of like the product I'm trying to sell you.
Yeah.
So I told them it was like, whatever. It's like
terrible trash.
Yeah. It's like, broken, it's like, apart. Yeah. There's like a slight crease on page 45, you know?
Yeah.
And so anyway, they offered me money. I shipped it and it was out of my mind. Like, great. I was very happy with the deal.
Yeah.
Then a little while later I get an email and they're like, yeah, those books you sent us, like those are better quality than you told us they were. Yes. So like, here's some extra money. So I was,
oh, nice.
That's how you win like a customer for life. Like,
yeah.
So anyway, as far as what I would do with my Fantasy Flight or maybe Monty Cook Kickstarter level money.
Yeah.
See, I'm getting all these little digs in.
Yeah, you are. You're taking everybody down a notch tonight.
I have all the old D&D books that I need.
Mm-hmm.
I do wonder if you would get joyful play out of some of the early basic D&D stuff.
Yeah.
Specifically, let me pitch to you that you look up what the D&D Rules Compendium.
Okay.
Which it's a single volume hardcover that collected all of the rules from the five-ish or so of those old basic box sets.
Mm.
You remember those box sets were released in like the first box set was like levels 1 to 3. And then the second one was like, and then by the end, it was like high level play. So they, at some point they collated the rules for that. So it's a complete zero to hero D&D game, but it's, it uses that like minimalist is not the right word, but like charmingly old school rule set.
Yeah.
And it's like, it, that always strikes me as like a pretty like play with kids friendly rule set. It's like not nitpicky. There's not like three paragraphs defining exactly what indivisibility or invisibility means and how it affects other things. It just, there's just a sentence that says you turn invisible, and then that, you know, it's a sort of game that you just like decide what that means, right?
Yeah.
And so I want to pitch that you maybe look at either some of those old box sets, but if you really want bang for your buck, take a look at that rule cyclopedia.
That's interesting. So I mean that, I mean, right, because I was also thinking about like, oh, like should I go get one of those boxes, right? You know, like if I can can afford them too. And part of me is also trying to figure out like, is it important, right? This is like the age-old question. It's right, like is a PDF okay, is like the original okay, is a reprint okay, right?
The elephant in the room also is, as you say, you can go on Drive-Through RPG and buy the PDF for $15 and buy a POD copy of it. So like, I mean, the PDF will give you the thing. So I guess it depends if it matters to you that you're holding an original old box set or book or not. Yeah, does that matter to you?
I think it does a little bit. And I know we've talked about it, and we haven't even talked about it on the podcast, but I've decided if I were to do like a video game collection, for example, I would only want ones where people had like written their last names on the cartridge, right? Like, you know, like that sort of stuff is really, I don't know. There's something about it. And I'm sure there's a really great like French word for this, right? There's like something about that, that's just like, oh, like I like the idea that this is an item that's like lived a life, right? Like, you know, I'm not interested in getting like a mint edition, you know, in you know, like in a slab, right? You know, like graded copy of anything, right? But there is something that's like, that'd be kind of charming about like, oh, like this is someone's, you know, copy of this module that they had in, you know, like in the 80s that they played with a couple times,
right? Yeah,
like that to me, like there is some value to that I can't quite put my finger on, but is something that is, it's pretty tantalizing to think about.
I came late to that realization that an RPG book that is clearly been used and loved is so much more satisfying to like flip through and bring to the table than a fresh mint condition hardcover that smells like a new book, right?
Yeah. I don't know why that is exactly. Cause like, I'm not too precious with books, like, right. Like, you know, so I mean, maybe there's a little bit of that element of like the same sort of person owned this. That's sort of like me too. But yeah, I don't know. There's just something about it. Like, you know, like stumbling across like marginalia, like, you know, like little notes and stuff like that. It's exciting. It's exciting in a way.
I think I've shared with you photos of, I bought a used copy of a second edition, like Mega Dungeon, basically. And I'm forgetting the name. It's like the Dark Below or something. It's really famous, and people are probably mad that I'm missing. Anyway, it's a big dungeon. And I think I showed you photos because the GM had gone through with a highlighter and like highlighted key throughout the entire module. He went crazy with the highlighter on like monster stats, and you could see decreasing like hit point numbers. He had a pencil and he was like crossing off hit points in the margins. And like, that's a game that didn't sit on a shelf. It wasn't just read and appreciated. That's a game that like was played.
Yes.
And that's really neat.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, it does make me wonder, like, you know, should I be writing more notes just directly in my books too, right? Because it's like, if I appreciate that so much, it's like, you know, what am I doing to add more of that into the world? But
I've thought about that. I years ago I played at a convention, and a guy was like beta testing his game, and when we were done, he had all the players sign his rule book. And when he flipped open the rule book, there's like dozens of names in like all different color pens and pencils and stuff like that. He has this like living record of all of the people that he shared a gaming table with. And it was like, it just really stuck with me. Like,
That's wonderful.
I've always appreciated that you are not super precious about your stuff. I'm like the opposite extreme. If I don't control myself, I'm someone that's like, well, I own a copy of this, but I don't have like a table copy of this. Okay. You know what I mean? Like that's, yeah, that's the direction my particular neurosis takes me if I don't, if I don't, you know, fight it. So,
yeah.
Yeah,
we might have, yeah, I have, so I've got a couple of like Super Nintendo games that are like worth some money. Like I've got a copy of Earthbound.
Oh,
which, you know anything about like, you know, collecting, like it's,
yes,
it's like crazy expensive. Right. And like, I even have the, like the strategy guide that it came with too, which is like, man, almost more expensive than the game, yeah, itself. And like, I mean, this is like, this is so cool that I have it. It's sort of like, it's my childhood copy of it too, yeah, right? Like, so there's a lot of sentimentality there as well. And like, I've often thought about like, well, you know, like maybe I should sell it, and then like, well, but I would never rebuy it, right? Like I would never like spend the money to buy it. But on the flip side, I've also looked at it and been like, if I decided someday that I really did need a copy of it, like it'd be expensive, but it's not like, you know, I could never afford it expensive,
right.
right? Like, you know, it's not like if I had a Black Lotus or something that I sold, like you'd never buy it again, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know, so there's like these levels of like of like luxury to stuff too, right? Like I would not loan out that copy of Earthbound where I would loan out like other games and stuff that I have, but also like if it disappeared, it would not be the end of the world either. Yeah, so it's, I don't know. Anyway, all that to say, it's like, yeah, so like I'm looking through like Noble Knights, you know, stuff. I'm like, oh, like it'd be really cool to own whatever, you know, the first printing, right? The first printing of Chainmail, mm-hmm, right? But like, you know, they have, there's a bunch of different printings, printings of it too. It's like, I don't really need to have, yeah, the first printing of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, to enjoy it. Cause like, I think whatever I get in this journey is something that I'd want to at least read, if not actually play yeah, at the table.
I mean, that would be my main suggestion if I'm being serious, is yeah, like, is there a game that you know you would play if you got it, mm-hmm, or a game that like you had to pass on? I mean, it could be a game you had to pass on the Kickstarter because it was out of budget, but mm-hmm, like it hurt you to pass on it, you know, like
yeah,
maybe now is your, you know, I would just ask that question, like what am I going to bring to the table? Cause like, you know, we're middle-aged. We don't need more stuff to like sit on a shelf,
yeah,
and admire, right?
Yeah.
In fact, both of us probably are at a point in life where we are actively trying to get rid of all the stuff we bought to admire when we, yes, were younger, right?
Yeah. yeah, definitely at that stage. Yeah. So, I mean, the other thing that I was thinking about, right? So it'd be nice to get like, you know, one of those old rule sets or something like that, but then also just like maybe trying to get a couple of modules, right? Like some of the old modules.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like that is an era of gaming that I didn't get to like experience, right, as it was happening. So I mean, but like, I mean, just from like a graphic design perspective, like I love the look.
Oh, I know, they're so good
too, right? Yeah, but I mean, like, you know, so I'm thinking, and I've, you know, I've even gone so far as to like, you know, send out a text message about like if I went and bought one of these things, like could I get a group together this summer to just play,
oh, you know, yeah,
play through one of these, right? And like, and that's where I don't, right, like I'm kind of coming in a little bit blind on this, is right, like I have, I think, some experience with some of these that have been republished for, you know, fifth edition D&D and stuff, but like, I mean, yeah, right, there's a bunch of them that I think still haven't gotten a remaster or re-release. It's just like you can go, like you mentioned, get the PDF, or you can go find the original
and the form somewhere. Factor, so yeah, those old modules for like basic and first edition D&D, mm-hmm, they have a physical characteristics that are lost if you buy the either the PDF or like a reprint and a recent anthology. And to Wizard of the Coast credit, they have reprinted most of like the classic ones in some omnibus or other over the years. You know, there is at some point, so you know, all those modules, they're not, the covers are not stapled to them, right?
I did not know this.
The covers, the like the cardstock cover comes, yeah, off, and and you use that as a GM screen.
Okay, I did not.
Or at least that's how I used them.
Okay, yeah.
So,
yeah,
like, it's things like that. If you are going to gather a group of people to play one of these things, yeah, you might as well. It shouldn't cost you too much money to buy a non-precious version of, like, whatever.
Yeah, they don't. I mean, it's equivalent to, like, I mean, if I was going to go pick up, like, the, you know, player's handbook or something like that, right?
Right,
it's
not, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you should do that, and I think you should go. I think you should consider going on, I think there's a site called like Wayne's Books. He's like a bookseller.
Okay.
Takes tons of photos, or some other places that like that really document the physical object. Mm-hmm. And just like maybe just look around until you see one that looks kind of cool.
Yeah.
Or like fun, or just, yeah.
Are there any of those that stick out to you that you played back in the day? You're like, oh, like this was like the classic one in my gaming group.
So I have a stack. I mean, I'll need to go get my stack of first edition modules, and I'll send you some photos or something like that, and you can take a look. So yeah, there's definitely some modules I played. Most of the modules I ran as GM were second edition modules, because that was just the age I was when I started running D&D.
Yeah.
So I played a lot of those old modules. Like I would steal from them for my second edition games that I ran, but like I don't have that like, oh, I grew up with like Expedition to the Barrier Peaks relationship to them that something that slightly older than me gamers have. But there's a lot of good ones, and they're heavily documented, so like you shouldn't have trouble finding one that I guess kind of meets your interests as far as like what
I mean, like I started looking around a little bit earlier today just about like, you know, like what do people recommend, and it's like, I mean, you can find a Reddit thread on any of these modules about how like this is the greatest one that was ever made, right, for that or the other reason. I mean, most people will admit like it's great because I played it, you know, a bunch when I was, you know, like 16 or whatever. So I mean, I think that's probably what I'm leaning towards, is, you know, getting something like that. I don't even know if I'd necessarily want to play it with the, like, I don't know, the rule set that it was written for. I mean, I guess that's another question, is like, is that inadvisable? I mean, I guess you mentioned the cyclopedia. It's like, I guess I could grab that as sort of
rule cyclopedia. Did I call it the compendium?
But you called it the cyclopedia the second time, so we'll go with the
okay everyone who's they've probably finished writing their
they probably emails. Finished so. they finished writing, they wrote their apology email again, and like, they're gonna get to this part and be like, I knew it.
That's right. I don't think so. There are so many rule systems that like try to do what early D&D did. You have enormous freedom about like what rules to use. I will just personally say, having played those rules back then, I don't think that there's anything like magic about those rules that that can't be. There's no feeling you can have with those rules that you can't get with a system you're likely to be a little bit more comfortable and familiar with. That said, I mean, there's certainly nothing wrong with playing it with the old rules, you know. There's a reason so many people in the old school community are like, you know, there's like 500 rules that are games that are essentially just reprints of those old rules, you know. There's a reason they have a lot of charm to them. So
I think so.
But you won't hit anything in there that's like a modern system cannot resolve this encounter. It requires you know, it requires the old system.
It requires,
you know,
the old true text.
Right,
go search the deep magic. I'm not like super worried about that. It's like, it's kind of a fun problem, right? Like, of like, okay, like, you know, which one to get, and like, you know, like, can I get a group together and all that, which is, it's exciting to think about. And it's also nice having this, like, it's essentially like not free necessarily, but like, it's like the cost is not a concept, like, like coming into it at all. It's just like, oh, like, yeah, like if I want to, whatever, like if the one that I really want for some reason is more rare, it's like, we can just, you know, make that happen. But okay, anyway, so the other thing that I also was thinking about is like, okay, well, I mean, you know, 5.5 edition is out right now too. Like, what if I just traded in and just got like all the core books, and then whatever else they have out for 5.5, which is, that's when I started looking and realized that there's a bunch of like Dragonlance like tie-in things now in D&D 5.5. And I don't know if these are like official Wizards of the Coast things or not, but right, I was just like looking at the Noble Knights stuff. It's like, oh, like there's actually a fair amount of like content for this system at this point.
Like surprising to me. Specifically 5.5.
yeah
oh, interesting.
At least, see, yeah, I that's at least categorized on their website as 5.5.
I would trust them to be pretty scrupulous about the way they catalog things.
Yeah,
that's news to me, but that's honestly awesome to hear. I know every time I've gone to like see what fan support is out there for like anything I want to do with modern D&D, there's always a ton of it. So like that, I guess that doesn't surprise me, but I'm pleased.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's like, it's still sort of the classic problem of like, I don't know, like that we've talked about. It's like, okay, great. So there's all this content out there, but it's like, what's the good stuff? Right. Yeah. I think like that's where, I mean, like looking at like the old modules, it feels a little bit, I don't know, more comforting. It's like there's going to be a billion different reviews of stuff. Right. Yeah. Whereas like, you know, the new system, it's like, okay, like if there isn't anything that like I'm looking at, like, oh, I must play Eberron or whatever.
Right.
Whatever
right.
I'm seeing. It's like, yeah, like, okay, like what do you, I don't know. Like, yeah, it's like, what do you do as someone who knows how to play games, is not super interested in the D&D starter set? It's like, okay, like I don't know what you do these days. Right. It's only been. You know, I mean, right. Like with fifth edition, it felt a little bit more obvious for like what you could choose to do. But with 5.5, I'm like, I'm not sure what that is. And that might just be a like, oh, Chris and Andy just aren't tuned into what's happening in the world, which is true. But it's it's also just like, oh, okay. Like, I don't know. Like this, it's a very expansive space right now, but it's also not like clear, like, oh, you have to pick up whatever. Yeah. Curse of Strahd 2.
I will say also, so I've run a little bit of D&D 5.5 and I've run just D&D 5.0 stuff with it. And that, like, there's no problem. I'm sure someone is out there, the archer feat was is slightly less effective or something like that. I don't think, I mean, if you want to get the 5.5 rules, that's awesome. Knock yourself out. That said, it's not going to like change the way you play D&D 5, you know, you play D&D. Yeah. So like, it's like heavily compatible. So
yeah, I mean, it'll be the same thing where it's like every time I look at the player's handbook, I'm like, oh, that's a rule.
That's right.
Be slightly more of that, I'm sure.
Something. Let me throw you out something else. I've just been thinking, what can I pressure Chris to buy with all of this loot? Here's something else to consider. So Noble Knight will have a lot of swag from old posters that like were up at, you know, that TSR would send to game stores.
Yeah.
I think so. If you were going to have some sort of awesome like get together in a few months to play through whatever it is you have in mind. And I mean, you might look at something like, I don't know, is there like a super badass like Dragonlance poster you can like put on the wall, or you know, I don't know. My mind is stuck with posters because I second edition D&D was like the heyday of like the box set. Like when people say they're nostalgic about the box set, they're really talking about, I think, second edition boxes. And they would often come with like a poster. Like, do you remember when like video games would sometimes come with this too? Like you'd open the box and like inside your Dragon Warrior box was just like a Dragon Warrior poster you could put on your wall.
I had I subscribed to, this will not surprise anybody, I subscribed to Nintendo Power for like,
of course
most,
you did, yes.
most of my growing up. Like at one point I think I had like issues 1 through 200 or something like
Man,
of course I gave it to a friend because I was like, I don't want these anymore now. I should have kept it, but they all came with like fold out like almost like pin-up style posters.
Yes.
And I cut out more than one of those to put up on my wall because it was just like the coolest possible thing to have, like the Super Metroid poster.
Years ago, I hate the word man cave, but I kind of have one.
Okay.
And I decorated really the walls. I framed a bunch of like poster maps from second edition box sets. So I have like I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but there's a bunch of kind of iconic maps of the Undermountain dungeon. Mm-hmm. They're like full poster size and there's like 4 or 6 of them. Anyway, those are like really, there's like a lot of evocative stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. I do not have like a space like that in my life for, for hanging posters, but I often wish I did. Because
yes.
Yeah. I mean, I like that idea too. I mean, that would be pretty fun. I mean, a small part of me did look at like Noble Knight's dice, you know, dice options and stuff. I'm like, well, I could get like the nicest set of dice ever, but like, that's just not what I need. So,
Have you also considered you considered buying like a battle pass for the new Call of Duty season or something like that? Because that probably go through your cash pretty fast.
Yeah, that's probably good. Yeah,
just while you're thinking of awesome gaming ways to spend your gaming dollars. Yeah.
I was in the grocery store. I should have taken a picture. I even thought of you when I saw it, but there was like a candy section that was like, you know, get double experience or like more V-Bucks and whatever. And I was just like, oh, they're still doing it. Like, right.
What would you have done if you got a return text from me that was like, Chris, I need you to buy every single one of those.
Yeah, I would have said, I'm sorry.
And I need you to open them up, empty out the candy and send me photos of the codes.
I would do that for you.
I know you would. I know you would. I don't even have to ask. That's the kind of friend you are. So, I hope that you will provide an update with what you do buy, and the more embarrassing the Noble Knight purchase is, the better. Mm-hmm. The more I'm going to press you to say what it was. So,
I don't think there's anything there. I mean, I'm sure there's some sort of like gross like anime statue I could get that would be embarrassing. No, I think there's nothing here that I'm considering that I would not gleefully talk about on the podcast.
Is there like a board game you sold that you you got rid of that you desperately wish you had?
Yeah. We were
you were talking earlier about the Battlestar Galactica board game, and
yeah, I was just going to bring that up.
That now costs like $10 trillion to buy a used copy of that. Yeah. Like that's long out of print.
So I mean, it's interesting. Yeah, we were talking about that. Like that is the one game that I immediately thought of when you said that. But that when I got rid of it, I gave it to one of our good friends who said he wants to play it with me today. So I was like, well, okay, I guess I solved that problem. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so you just might think about that too. So
I know it's there's games that I played that I've really enjoyed that I would like to play again, but it's like did you ever play the HeroClix game? I think it was called HeroClix.
I didn't, but I have a couple of them because they were often like con swag at Gen Con and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with those.
I played that a few times in college, and like that was fun. Like it'd be fun to play that again, but like I don't need to own it. I mean, I did. Right. You know, I looked at work. There's another guy who's like super into Warhammer painting.
So oh yeah,
he posted. Oh, what are they called? There's like these. There's a new set of these like giant like walking buildings that like actually look pretty cool. It's like, oh, maybe I'll like get one of those and paint it. I'm like, I'm not gonna paint that. Like, right? Like, yeah.
You actually slap yourself because that's what?
Yeah. Like, I was just like, what are you doing? Like, first of all, I'm not going to paint it. And second of all, there's no way it's gonna look like the pictures of what it's gonna, of the professional painters. Yeah. So it's like it's tricky. Like, I think I now know myself well enough to like when I'm hovering over the buy button to be like, that's not actually gonna
right
I'm not gonna do anything with that.
All right, Chris. I know we need to wrap this up and you don't want to hear me tell you more troll suggestions, but so I'm in a couple of groups for like dead CCGs.
Don't tell me with that. Yeah, like, that is one thing.
Just this evening someone was posting about the Crow CCG and like there's every single movie or property had a CCG between like somewhere in the 1995 to 98 year. So my friend, you could own like the entire Tomb Raider CCG.
Oh, Andy, you gave me a really good idea that we'll talk about off air.
Okay. It's buying the Tomb Raider CCG, right?
Well, like, yeah, I mean, it's going in. We're gonna make our money. No, okay. it's something else. But yeah, cool. All right. Well, let's wrap it up there. Thank you. This is a really fun conversation.
Yes.
Of course, listeners, if you are like, oh, like I know the exact thing that you know Chris should buy, please let me know.
If you've been listening for a while and you have a bead on what Chris really needs to play or own, you should let us know.
And if the thing that you're like, oh, like I want to Chris should get this and then he should run it for me, let me know too. So, cool. All right, well, that does it for us. Thanks so much for listening. You can go check out Andy and John Corey on their podcast Zombie Strains. They just did Night of the Living Dead, right? Is that the next one that's coming out?
It is by the time this episode airs. It's our biggest episode of Zombie Strains in a year and a half or 2 years of doing it is finally here, because we are going over the movie Night of the Living Dead. So
That's really great. That's exciting. I mean, it's, you know, it's amazing you got that far. And my guess is the quality of the zombie movies is going to go up pretty substantially from here on, or is that wishful thinking?
Well, we've nervously discussed this. I haven't really looked at the list of like zombie movies from the 70s, which is where we're going next.
Yeah.
So like film quality overall going up. However, I think this is the decade of like real trash exploitation. I don't have a lot of confidence that like, yeah. I'm very nervous about what we're heading to next, but we'll have to just deal with that.
That's great. Well, I mean, this is a major milestone. So, I mean, do definitely go listen to that when it comes out. But yeah. All right. Well, that does it for us. I've been Chris Salzman.
I've been Andy Rao.
And remember, if your player's having fun, you're a great GM.